This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Quicken Loans studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Coming up in about 15 minutes from now, we've got your best audio of the day, including Aaron Rodgers with some questionable comments about his wide receivers and receiving targets, as well as Vance Joseph defending his decision to kick a field goal trailing by four late fourth quarter on Saturday night for the Broncos. So all of that coming your way this hour, plus whether Doug Marrone just signed his walking papers with yesterday losing to Jesus in Jacksonville. As always, hit us up on the phones. It's toll-free at 855-212-4227 on Twitter, DA on CBS. If you watched Hard Knocks or know anything about the NFL and the coaching circles over the last couple of years, really the last decade or so, you know that Greg Williams is old school. And Greg Williams never met an F-bomb he didn't like. And Greg Williams is gruff and salty and was at the center of Bounty Gate for the Saints. And Williams has been around the block and rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. But he's an old school guy. He does get results. And this year, as defensive coordinator for the Cleveland Browns, seemed to have some friction with Hugh Jackson, but who didn't? Todd Haley seemed to have some friction. Greg Williams seemed to have some friction. I think, largely speaking, that organization and that coaching staff didn't think much of their head coach. And so when Hugh was finally fired, it absolutely felt as though there was a release of pressure, if you will, and that maybe now guys could get on the same page. But when Greg Williams took over the interim job, it kind of felt like, okay, classic instance of longtime assistant coach, failed head coach before, gets the head coaching gig, rides out the rest of the season, and then they go after somebody real, a real qualified coaching candidate that would be in demand, because I don't think that Greg Williams gets a lot of people excited as a head coach in the open market. Greg Williams insisted because he has a huge ego. Oh, I've turned down jobs. Oh, I get offered jobs all the time. They don't even want me to interview. I get so many jobs. Yeah, that's the ticket. And you roll your eyes and go, okay, buddy. But what you kind of know going into that situation is young team, vibrant team, excitable team. What you don't want is to get that team stuck in old habits and old ways of retread head coaches. You don't want a young, fun, excitable team to get dragged down by a guy that basically uses the F-bomb every other word and thinks they were playing football back in 1975. What you want is an open-minded, creative, maybe young head coach that could kind of take advantage of all these great skills that so many high draft picks have on that team. Guess what? Greg Williams is doing it. I mean, Hugh Jackson won three games in 3 years, basically. And Greg Williams has won four in a month and a half. Williams has won more games than Hugh Jackson in a month and a half than Hugh had in 2.5 years at the job. When you look at the Browns now, right now, What you see is a team that's spunky, that's fiery, that granted has a rookie quarterback that wasn't there the last 2 years, but certainly a team that's going to be kind of a tough matchup. It's going to be a spunky team that fights you, that's emotional, and believes in itself. You know that. And they're 6-7-1 right now. So they're just around 500. And to think this team, which has won 4 of its last 6, went 0-16 last year. The year before that went 1-16. Is essentially unfathomable. Again, they didn't have Baker Mayfield, and Baker's been perfect because Baker has brought all of his energy and his motivation and his emotion into the fray, and it's helped build leadership and belief in what they're doing. But also, I mean, clearly something's working with Greg Williams at the helm. And so for me, this is kind of hard because going into this, I didn't think Greg Williams was the right fit. I think you want a guy who's offensive-minded to bring the best out of Baker Mayfield. I think you want a guy that has a creative offense. You want a guy that's, I think, young. I mean, everybody's looking for the next Sean McVay. But I think you want somebody that feels fresh and new and not like a head coaching retread that thinks it's the NFL in 1978. And yet Greg Williams is getting results. And I'll have to be perfectly honest, I think if he doesn't get the head coaching job, I don't think you can guarantee that right now because I do really believe in the offseason, you need to see who's available. Like if John Harbaugh is available and wants the job, you got to listen. I know people thought that Mike Tomlin could get fired before yesterday. I suppose if the Steelers lost their final 2 games and didn't make the playoffs or were a disaster in the playoffs, maybe some people would say the same thing. I don't think the Steelers are firing Mike Tomlin, but there could be very qualified head coaches out there. And I think if a guy like Harbaugh wants the job, he's got to get the job. But Greg Williams needs to get a real hard, long look because the results are there. I think what you're seeing is a team follow their leader with Greg Williams, who has a lot of confidence and a lot of energy and a lot of fight in him. He's ready for combat all the time. And I think they were ready for that. Maybe Hugh was a little too passive in that way. Maybe they're sick of being kind of kicked around to the punchline, so now they're kind of taking it out on everybody else. But I think also what you're kind of seeing is Baker Mayfield can lead the offense himself in some ways. I mean, Freddie Kitchens' play calling has been better. Baker wasn't great on Saturday, but he was great in the red zone. Do you realize that Baker Mayfield is the second-rated quarterback in the red zone this year? Drew Brees 1, Mahomes 3, Baker 2 in the red zone. And Tom Brady, did you send me that stat earlier today that Brady is number 30 in the NFL in red zone quarterback efficiency?
I didn't, but if it helps my producing grade for the day, I'll take it.
Could you imagine Baker Mayfield being in the red zone quarterback rankings number 2 and Brady being number 30? You know, if Baker's going to be that good with Kitchens, I mean, this whatever is happening right now is working. Now, again, part of this is probably that Hugh Jackson got less out of the team, and maybe this is just where they should have been anyway. And part of this is end of the season, you're playing teams that might be out of it, banged up, you know, there's no expectations. Anything that happens now is total gravy. But look, I mean, let's be perfectly fair here to Greg Williams. While he feels like a dinosaur, and the Cleveland Browns, I don't think, need a dinosaur, it's working. It's paying dividends. I wouldn't get too emotionally involved with Greg Williams, if you will, because we've seen this happen before. The interim head coach wins a couple of games and suddenly it's, well, he's got to be promoted and he's got to be the long-term fix. And that doesn't work. Oftentimes it does not work. Especially with a guy in Greg Williams where if he's been offered these jobs, like he says, A, why isn't he taking them? And B, he said no to all these jobs, but suddenly he's going to say yes to the Browns? What's going on? Or do most teams realize, hey, you know what? Williams is a really good coordinator, but not what the fix is steady each and every week. But whatever the case is, the Browns are 6-7-1. They're actually still alive in the playoff race, miraculously. They've won 4 of their last 6, and I think they really like playing for them. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Go to geico.com. In 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. David's next up. He's in Buffalo, listening on 1270 to CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Dave.
Hey, D.A., appreciate you taking my call, man. First off, nice job last week on the Rome Show. That was awesome, buddy. Really cool stuff. Want to jump in here and talk about another head coach who's doing a phenomenal job this year in Frank Reich. You know, for years here in Buffalo, he was a backup quarterback as a kid. I remember the role he played with those teams, you know, that comeback win against the Oilers. He had a role on that team that was unique because Jim Kelly had a share of injuries, and I think that allowed him to be kind of a voice in the locker room, and you're seeing what it's translated to be as a head coach. He's done a great job with Indy, and how happy has Indy got to be that they've got him instead of Josh McDaniels, because I mean, he's reinvented that whole team. I mean, you look at the front seven of the Colts, you look at the way Andrew Luck is playing, that team's just got a whole new attitude. He's got to be the coach of the year. I mean, they started 1-5, and they're 8-6 right now in the hunt for the wild card. What a job he's done. Have a Merry Christmas, buddy, and thanks for taking my call.
Back at you, Dave. Totally agree. I think that Frank Reich deserves major kudos, or as Dick Vermeil used to tell me, kadoos. Because you're right. Andrew Luck has been a new guy. Now, maybe with Josh McDaniels, Andrew Luck would have been a new guy also, but Reich has gotten great production out of Luck. They are a winning team. I don't think a lot of people had any expectations on the Colts, and right now the Colts are right in that wild card race at 8-6 and could end up at 10-6, and I think he's added a stewardship that's even keel, but also, as I kind of mentioned, there's a new voice, a fresh look on things. I think he's modern, without trying to be the cool guy. I think he can be aggressive, like we've seen under the two-point conversion that was controversial earlier in the year, but enough so to where the guys believe in him without being reckless. And I like Reich a lot. And I don't know if they're better off with Reich than Josh McDaniels, because we don't know what Josh McDaniels is or will be as a head coach another turnaround. But I think that what ended up happening with Reich, look, if you're the Colts, you've got to be thrilled that this is the production you're getting out of Frank Reich in year number one. Thrilled. And mostly that Andrew Luck is once again one of the best quarterbacks in football. And that is in no small part due to, I think, Reich. I think he's got a really good relationship with Reich. I think Luck is one of the most coachable guys in the NFL. So no matter who took over, I think he would have had a good relationship with. But I think he really respects Frank Reich. And there's no doubt, I mean, you talk to Boomer Esiason, who's really close friends with Frank Reich, or people that were around Jim Kelly and the Bills, and you just constantly hear how Reich is smart, and he's steady, and he's a leader, and he inspires confidence, and that he's just a guy you want to have around because he's smart and will bring a lot to the table. And I think he's doing that with the Indianapolis Colts. There's been a couple of really great coaching stories this year. I mean, look, I kill Butchin McGee all the time, but Bill O'Brien, the Texans were 0-3, and now they're 10-4, right? They 0-3 this season? I mean, think about that. They've won 10 of their last 11 games and could have a bye. So he's been phenomenal. Anthony Lynn in L.A. with the Chargers has been really good as well. Lynn's always under the radar. He's been really good. And Matt Nagy, I mean, think about what we thought of the Bears before the season and now what Nagy is. I mean, people didn't know that they were going to get Khalil Mack before the season began, but the Bears are already division champs. So there's been some really impressive coaching performances this year, and Reich is definitely in the mix. Number five of the 12 DAs of Christmas is catching a lot of traction on Twitter. Reed Phillips tweets, I love Torg Bellinger just like everybody, but how the Mac attack is only number five is beyond me. Shermanator tweets, oh my God, walking my dogs, listening to the Jody Mac montage. People must think I'm nuts. I was crying. It's so awful, but so damn funny. Craig tweets, the Jody Mack snot, vomit, sneeze, emphysema, palooza is making my Monday morning. Hashtag black lung walking. Dixieland Dan tweets, this is my new favorite drop. Hashtag let me clear my Jody Mack throat. James tweets, Damon, if you're going to give Jody a gift this year, time for Shantix. Myron, DA, one word from the Jody Mackman audio. Hashtag gross. Yankee Girl tweets, I'm a nurse, and that cough makes my stomach turn. That's a nurse.
That's alarming. If that's making her stomach turn.
She's seen and heard a lot, I'm sure.
Get a little of the chunk off the top of that one, too.
Ed tweets, thanks to the 12 DAs of Christmas for cheering me up a little after that Rams collapse last night. And Dan tweets, wow, I forgot just how much listening to the Mac Attack makes my throat close up and start coughing. It's so wet. It's so nasty in my ear. I feel so dirty. Hashtag little wet, little sneezy, laughy, and coffee.
And we have four moments conceivably better than that one left.
And I will say that while it does feel low on the list, number five, I can guarantee you the top four have very solid arguments for being above Jody Mack. It was a stacked year.
Yeah, this is the college football playoff for us. The top four is here, the committee's weighed in, and we're ready to go tomorrow.
When we come back, Aaron Rodgers, does he throw his wide receivers under the bus after another disappointing effort? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. We count down the 12 DAs of Christmas. Here's a moment that got stuck in the chimney.
Just a hunch here going up the butt. I'm sorry, up the gut. Give me the Texans getting a point in Indianapolis.
You've been doing these picks for 5 years.
Uh-huh.
You know exactly what the name of your pick segment is.
I don't know how that came out. Can I be honest, Cincinnati here? I don't know how that just happened after 5 years.
I don't even want to add anything to that, but Mraz messing up the name of his own pick segment and messing it up with that word and that phrase. Ay, ay, ay. 24 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Remember, all of the best clips in video form are available every single day on our Facebook page, facebook.com/TheDA Show. Go there to like the show page.
Yeah, get my timeline popping.
And also, you can check out the videos on our YouTube channel. Just search The DA Show or CBS Sports Radio. You'll see the best of video clips every single day. With only 2 weeks left of the regular season, it's all about the playoff picture. The Texans march northeast from Houston to take on the Philadelphia Eagles, and then Pittsburgh heads to the Big Easy when the Steelers battle the Saints. For the complete playoff picture, kick off your day with the NFL Today, Sunday at 12 Eastern, 9 Pacific, only on CBS. Coming up next hour, Amy Trask will join us, CBS Sports Network. She is a former Raiders executive, and we will discuss with Amy how it's possible that Christmas Eve, a week from tonight, might be the last game ever in Oakland. First, your best audio of the day.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
On Saturday night, the Denver Broncos trailed by 4 with about 4.5 to play. And on 4th and short, Vance Joseph decided instead of going for it on 4th and 1, we'll kick the field goal to be down by 1, then we'll play defense, get the ball back, and then try to kick the game a winning field goal. So betting on getting the ball back. Well, they kicked the field goal there, ended up not being able to convert to the final drive. Jabril Peppers comes through and sacks Case Keenum on 4th down. That ends the game. And a lot of Broncos players were grumbling after the Browns loss that they should have gone for it on that 4th down. Here's Coach Joseph.
I wanted points there. We had about 4:35 to go in the game. We had one timeout and 2-minute warning. So I trust our defense to get a stop there. Okay. If we don't get points there, touchdown has to win it. It was my decision.
Look, I don't hate the decision. I know that in retrospect it looks bad. I don't hate it because what Vance Joseph is saying there is, I'll take 2 field goals to try to win, and they did get the ball back. So I trust my defense. We've got the 2-minute warning coming up here anyway. It's another timeout. We'll get the ball back, and then we only got to get another field goal. And so I can't kill him there because there is 4:35 to go. And if you're already chasing points because you don't think you'll get the ball back with 4:35, that's a problem. So I get it, except there is one problem here, and that is Vance Joseph had a banged-up defense, exhausted at the end of the season, exhausted at the end of this game, that has held too much of the load all season long anyway. And Joseph has been aggressive before. Joseph has been the guy that said, let's go for it on fourth down. Let's go for it here. Let's get points here. Let's go into the end zone here. So it's bizarre that in a season where he constantly advises or advocates for being aggressive, now here's a moment at the end of a season with your defense really banged up and exhausted, and then you're not aggressive like you've been talking about all season long. Ezekiel Elliott, as the Cowboys were shut out.
With the guys we had in there, we have enough talent to go out there and beat that team. I just think that we just came out there and played poor.
They played like horse bleep, yes. Yep, they played like bleep. And the Colts shut them out. That's the Cowboys' first shutout in a number of years. And the Colts, they were a good team, but the Cowboys, I think this is kind of what they are. They can be really good one week and really bad the next, and you just don't know what that's going to be in the playoffs. Look, I still think the Cowboys are going to win this division, and I still think if you're able to run the football like they are, you give yourself a chance in most playoff games. And if it's a home game in Dallas, you know, I think they should... Look, I think they should win the division because they're the best team in the NFC East. Do I think they should win a playoff game? Probably not, because I don't think they're that good. You know, they're good enough to win this division, good enough to have a home playoff game, but not really that good overall. And I think you see why. Dak Prescott is limited. And so if you get him in space and you strip down the offense and you let him use his legs, he can beat you. But if you need him to be a pocket passer, I don't think Dak's ever going to be that. I don't think he's ever going to be a great passer. And I think, unfortunately for the Cowboys, they just have to kind of live with that reality. They want him to be something that he's never going to become. And Aaron Rodgers, after another disappointing effort, sounds like he kind of throws his wide receivers under the bus.
I haven't watched you all these years and get used to seeing you. Almost all your throws are right on the money. And this year, it seems like you've missed more throws than in the past. Does it feel that way to you? And if so, what do you think might be the factors there?
Just not being on the same page with the guys we're throwing to.
You don't think like you just missed throws?
Oh, no, there's missed throws for sure. Yeah, but you know, some of the ones that you probably think are missed throws, maybe we're just not on the same page.
So Rodgers is right. Some of the throws we see as he overthrew or underthrew or didn't hit the receiver, you know, wide receivers blow routes all the time. Wide receivers see something and break a different way, and Rodgers thinks it's something else. And so that's always going to look like an overthrow or a misthrow, but sometimes it is on the wide receivers. But this is where Aaron Rodgers does not help himself, because you are a Hall of Famer. You are a leader. You are an all-time great. You've just got to own everything. You're going to blame it on rookie wide receivers and do it publicly? This is where he loses credibility, because I know Rodgers is frustrated. I know Rodgers is transparent emotionally. But Aaron Rodgers there has to own the blame. And he just has to own it. And when you're an all-time great and you're blaming rookie wide receivers for not being where they're supposed to be, it comes off as cheap and petty and blame-filled. And I think that's... Look, when you had the Mike McCarthy thing unravel in front of him, and it sounded like he was throwing McCarthy under the bus, and now you have him sounding like he's throwing wide receivers under the bus, you know, there becomes a pattern. And Rodgers really needs to guard against it. And I think this year, I think he's emotionally checked out. I think he's emotionally, mentally checked out, and you're seeing it in his play and then with his comments after games. It's your sound check. Now, last week got real frisky between myself and Matt in L.A. on the Jim Rome Show. Matt called up the Rome Show, and he just, out of nowhere, I don't even know Matt, out of nowhere, comes after me on Rome Show. And so I said, okay, that's fine. Two can play at this game. I'm not going to just sit here and let you take a shot at me on another show. I'm here every single day, 3 hours a day, 5 days a week, sometimes four. 50 weeks a year, that's sometimes 49. But I am here almost every day. Call me if you've got something to say. So I called up Rome's show, and I laid the hammer down because you know what? I'm not scared to walk into the jungle and mix it up. I can throw hands just like the best of them. Especially if you're going to go to an age-old, time-worn criticism of my big teeth. I've heard this since I was seven. You cannot make me feel bad about this. I love my oversized, big, bright, pearly whites. Love them. They are my signature. I own them. I love them. And this is the best that you got? The best that you got? So I came after Matt. I am not scared to mix it up, especially inside the jungle. And I said, Matt, if you're going to come after me on my show. Don't come after me on another show. Well, it appears Matt in L.A. has finally called this show. We'll get to him coming up after the break. And a very special gift to the DA show listeners, something that is a year in the making. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
It's the DA Show, only on CBS Sports Radio.
The snap, high, the slip out, the kick is up. The kick is good, bullseye! Bullseye, Hopkins hits it, and the Redskins win. 16-13, their 600th regular season win in dramatic fashion, running their record to 7-7 and still in the playoff hunt.
Staying alive.
I mean, we're always trying to look to, you know, find ways to get in the ball, whether it's, you know, punt return and jet sweep, the same thing we put Leonard back there on kicks today, you know, trying to find ways to generate some offense, you know, or field position or do the things that we need to do, you know, to create more consistency.
Larry Michael on Washington's radio network. And that was Doug Marrone after a disgraceful win. Disgraceful. Welcome back. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Listen to the DA show every single day on all of the different ways you can, but also watch the show at watchda.com. The simulcast is cooking on any device, watchda.com. Did Doug Marrone just sign his walking papers? Yeah, I think so. I mean, last year, the Jacksonville Jaguars are in the AFC Championship game. Last year, the Jacksonville Jaguars are a play away from defeating the Patriots and going into the Super Bowl. Last year, the Jaguars had the youngest, most fun, most ferocious defense in the NFL. This year, they brought everybody back, essentially, and they should have been as good, if not better. And they're playing out the string. They're playing out the string. And at home in Jacksonville against a Washington team that lost Alex Smith and Colt McCoy and said, Mark Sanchez, you're so bad. We're going to start a guy that we signed from the Alliance of American Football. And you still lost.
Just Johnson.
You still lost. I mean, yesterday, Leonard Fournette didn't play. Oh, except for the kick return he was on. What? They are still going with Cody Kessler instead of Blake Bortles. Jalen Ramsey, after the game, is asked about Doug Marrone's prospects, his job security. And Ramsey's answer is, I don't care. I only care about myself. Nice. This is a team that's really in the hunt together to the dire end, huh? You lost to Just Johnson.
Just Johnson.
Just Johnson.
Just Johnson.
Was drafted by the San Diego Fleet of the Alliance. He walked in from the Fleet. And just beat the Jaguars.
Just Johnson.
You know what I'm telling you is going to happen? Doug Marrone's going to get the zig, and understandably so, because this is just a debacle beyond debacles. Remember, Doug Marrone wanted to refer to himself as Saint Doug because he pulled off, in his mind, two miracles, turning around Syracuse football and then turning around the Buffalo Bills for a year. So this guy, yeah, I think he thinks he's better than he is at his job, and I think he's going to get the zig because this is ridiculous. You can't lose to
Just Johnson.
You lost to an Alliance of American Football quarterback. You lost to a guy that was a member of the San Diego Fleet.
Just Johnson.
At home. I think what you have is Tom Coughlin's going to have to fire Doug Marrone. And I think Coughlin might have to come down to the sideline. Because if you're Shad Khan, are you trusting Doug Marrone to hire the next guy? Maybe, but you're paying Tom Coughlin a lot of money, and I think Tom Coughlin still has the itch to coach. You know what's going to end up happening in 2019? Your Jacksonville Jaguars, coached by Tom Coughlin, quarterbacked by Joe Flacco. You watch! You watch! That is definitely on the table, but, I mean, can you bring back Doug Marrone after this? After this? This was a team that was good enough to smash to pieces the Patriots early in the season, and now they're out of the playoffs, and Just Johnson is still playing for his.
Just Johnson.
The Jaguars are eliminated, and a team with Just Johnson at quarterback isn't. This is a problem. As I mentioned, last week, fireworks flared at the Jim Rome show as Matt in L.A. called up, drove by, hit me up with some teeth smack. He then got into his take, although Romy didn't even let him get into his take, stood up for me, defended me.
Keep DA's name out your mouth.
And I appreciate Romy's support very much because he's got my back and he knows that I've got his. But he doesn't have to take up for me. Nobody does. Because I'm here every day, 3 hours a day. You can just call me. You can just call this show. But Matt in L.A. was scared. He was scared to call him this show and doing it, so he called another show. Well, after I laid the hammer down on him on Rome's show last week, it looks like Matt is calling in from L.A. But is it really L.A., Matt? On the radio.com listen. Hello, Matt.
Hey, hold on, man. Let me put down these 7-Eleven hot dogs for a second. I got to get into this. Okay. Hey, so, D.A., man, first off, nobody's scared of a dog, man. You, sir, have my respect. That was kind of just like an ode to you, like, hey, how's it going? But I understand, man. How was I to know that you've been tormented, traumatized, if you will, by this kind of smack since you were a child? I didn't know that you, being the only person in human history with a mouth that you would measure in cubic yards, would take offense, sir. I mean, I caught you on the NFL Network a few weeks back, as well as the Wood Scopes, even prior to that. And it was just an ode, sir. So, hey, you know what? I have nothing but respect for you, D.A. It was just really a Merry Christmas blast. But, hey, you know what? You're a made man. And I wanted to make sure that you understood, man, that I'm not afraid of nobody or anything when I'm out here in Gardena by way of L.A., sir.
All right, Matt. I hear you. I got you. I'm glad you called me up. I'm glad you did this face-to-face. I'm glad you had the man up. You were man enough to dial me up and tell me. Like I said, I'm not traumatized. I'm not tortured. I've just been hearing cracks about my grill for like 30 years, so it's not effective. In fact, it's my signature, and I love it. It's every caricature, every cartoon, every drawing, every picture. I love it. I think it's the coolest thing ever. Everybody's got to have a signature, right? It's like Ed Grimley's hair. But I appreciate you coming to me and doing it yourself, because that's the way we should handle our business as men. And as adults, men and women, here on the CBS Sports Radio airwaves. Watch out for those gas station hot dogs, though. they're rough on your digestion, rough on the piping. Here's our present to you, boys and girls. In 2018, cue the music, Mr. Pete the Body Bellotti. 2018 was a year that Sean Mraz became a household name in so many places across the country. Here is Mraz's greatest hits. Bellotti and I have been putting this together for the entire year. It's the year of the buffoon. What number Super Bowl is this?
52.
Okay, what's the Roman numerals?
The Roman numerals would be XL with three single things. Is it deers or die? Like mooses and moose and mice?
You think it's my?
Mice. Something. But all right, anyway.
You thought multiple deer were die.
Or like they call, maybe that's what they call the pride of them. The pride is like a group of animals. My only, if you will, coup de grace to that.
That doesn't make any sense.
I was shooting there. I hope I shot right.
You'd shot terribly wrong.
I missed Nolu Williams there.
What's that? Mraz, I don't know if you have any plans on going to China. But
You know what? I'm more of an Eastern Hemisphere guy.
Which is where China is.
It's actually the hemisphere with China.
Are we West? We're West. I'm more of a Western Hemisphere guy. I live East from here.
You live East from the station.
Yes.
What?
It's pronounced the way it's spelled. It's gyro. Enough. With the fancy schmancy. We're not in Greece.
It's properly pronounced hero.
So is Spider-Man and Batman. This is a gyro.
You think that Spider-Man is pronounced hero?
Superhero.
You think it's superhero?
I would imagine.
I don't even follow that logic.
Because here we call a sandwich a hero. That is a sandwich there. It is their hero. It would be XL.
XL.
And then three capital letter I's. Oh. I find chocolate to be the most pungent of all the candies. And if I'm going with...
Most pungent meaning...
Packed with flavor.
And usually pungent describes a smell, but all right.
Well, yeah, it smells on your tongue. So is this a V and then three stripes?
This is... No, V is five.
50. Five. V, zero, three stripes. That's what he's going with, right? The clarinist? That's a clarinet player?
What?
That's what he was talking about. The man who sees the perfect clarinist.
What? Why would you think that Jason Witten is talking about playing a clarinet?
Well, who knows what he's talking about? You're a handsome man, right?
You have a giant Buddha belly.
But that's my point. I have a default. Don't add more defaults to yourself.
What?
Obtuse?
No. Obese?
No, I know. Obtuse was a slang on obese. It's like a triangle.
Wow. No, definitely not.
Anybody who actually enjoys a veggie burger probably incorporates them into their lives way too much compared to somebody who wants to, divulge or indulge or what's the word there?
Indulge.
Indulge.
You're welcome.
It just dawned on me. Jacksonville. Was that named after Michael Jackson?
Yeah, they named Jacksonville after Michael Jackson.
I never freaking knew that.
How can you not know that? So, got to fly to Denver or Minneapolis.
Would it be shorter to drive? Why are you laughing? Is it that long? Boise's in the middle, so...
Driving from New York to Boise?
Yeah, like Cleveland would be 8 hours. So how much longer to Boise? Another two?
Yeah, it's about 2 hours past Ohio.
So 10 hours. Hala, the first name is Hali Pui Vati Vaitai.
What was that? Hui Pui, did you say?
Hala Pula Vatai Vaitai. It's Hal APOU Apu LIV Liv AATI IT. Hala Puli Vaiti Vaitai.
Got it.
Is Table Rock a strip club? That's what they were getting at. So what would Table Rock be?
It's a hike, you doofus. You even know where Spain is.
Yes. Europe. Madrid.
Is Spain in Madrid?
No, Madrid is in Spain. Oh, okay. As is...
Morocco?
Oh, my God. I was going for another city there.
So close.
So close. Oh,
and then you just, wow. You one step too far, yeah.
Wow.
I was thinking Morocco's in Spain, but now I think it's in the Mediterranean.
Is Morocco a city or a country?
Morocco is a city in the Mediterranean.
Oh, my goodness.
Don't you love how he swallows deep before this? Ah, oh, it's a city in the Mediterranean?
Mediterranean's like New England, right? It's a group of countries.
Mraz, what are the La Brea Tar Pits?
Roller derby team. I didn't even know quicksand was real. That's crazy. What is textile? Like Calibre? Arial?
What?
Like the fonts on Microsoft? Is that what they mean?
Not text style. No, not text style. What's this here?
Jurassic Park. What's the name of them?
Jurassic 5? No.
Is that it, Jurassic 5? Something is the halftime show. I forgot their names. Some band that everybody thinks is popular and they're not. The guy's on some of those shows that judges singers.
Maroon 5?
Is it Maroon 5?
Is it Adam?
Which one, the Super
Did
Bowl?
You think Maroon 5 was Jurassic Park?
What's it like, Justin Timberlake at halftime playing with the homonym of Prince there?
The homonym.
Homonym of the thing where it's not really him, but it looks like him. What is it?
I can't believe that Mraz knows the word homonym instead of
instead
of hologram.
That might be more impressive, yeah.
Hologram. It's the homonym.
Mraz, do you even know what Parliament is?
A cigarette and a funk group.
And any other usage of Parliament?
The movie company?
That's Paramount.
Is it the English Congress?
Yes!
What? I didn't realize that. They stand outside Buchanan's palace.
A group of crows is called a murder of crows.
But all I'm hearing is that song, Murder of Crows, Murder of Crows.
Well, it's Murder, She Wrote. But...
Yeah, but if you did it to, you know, the crows.
Yeah.
So it's L and three stripes?
No!
Come on! You can't be that dumb.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.